misunderstood, unseen and unheard. Now it's our turn. Cranium grip, talk is meant. We debate her in the facts.
When they discharge you, is that when you go back to the police station, or do you not have to go?
Yes, I actually went to jail that night.
Oh man.
I actually went to jail that night. And then they didn't even give me my discharge paper from the hospital. Mm. I don't even know what happened to that. Mm. You know, so when we got to the police station, I mean to the jail or whatever, I was sitting in the police car for like 30 minutes. Before they even took me out the car and took me in the jail.
So is the sun up yet?
No. Mm. It's about 5-6.
Mm. Did you have to call home and say, did they give you an option to call or tell your family where you want? Nothing.
No. My girlfriend, she having to come down to where we was during the time after the incident happened. Mm-hmm. When the paramedics were there, and how she found out, one of the neighbors were walking past, going to the store, walking in that same direction. Mm-hmm.
Jaywalking,
yeah. In that same direction. and I have to, you know, notice him, which his name was Fred Lindsay. I had yelled to him to tell Dominique, because we mm-hmm. stayed right beside each other.
You and Dominique weren't living together at the time?
No,
oh, Fred. You and Fred was your neighbor. Yeah.
Right. I yelled to him to let her know that I just got my behind kicked, mm-hmm. beat, or whatever, and I'm about to go to jail. Mm-hmm. So by this time, the kid sleep. So when she found out, she immediately ran down the hill to where I was, you know, to see what's going on. And she asking questions, you know, what is going on, you know, what did he do, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they were being nasty to her.
Yeah, she told me that. So I did get a chance to talk to Dominique. She had to work today, so she couldn't be with us. But, you know, she said for her, this was like, you've beat him. Like, what do I do? You know, I'm here, like, what's happening? We have kids at home. Like, he didn't do anything. I know he didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. He's been working for 13 hours. And she just said it was very frightening to her. And it's like, you know, when you're frightened, you call the police. But she couldn't call the police because they were the police.
Right.
So that was really scary for her.
That is really scary.
And just feeling that feeling of, like, not being able to control a situation in any way.
Right. Yeah.
And the people who are supposed to help you are the people who are actually abusing you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you're kind of stuck. You don't know.
Right.
It's horrible.
And remember, I mentioned this earlier, like, she's a foster mom. Like, when I'm a foster kid, so, like, when I'm alone, like, I call my parents, like, hey, mom, hey, dad, what do I do? Well, she's a foster child. So who does she call? Her partner's getting beat up. Her kids are in their sleep. Like, who does she call? What does she do in this situation?
And she started calling all of my family, which is back home in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because I don't have no family here. I had my brother here at the time. He the one that brought me here. And he had recently just got married and moved to Columbia, South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So now it's pretty much just me here by myself now. Mm-hmm. You know, so I couldn't reach out to nobody, you know, which I could have, but, you know, what could they done?
So far away.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and so she had called some of my family members back home to inform them of what's going on. And when they heard about it, you know, they was ready to come up here and blow up the whole police station.
Right.
You know, just being honest and still
having an emotional response.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
so, and they still hot about that to this day. You know,
well, there are a lot of people that are still hot about it to this day. A lot of people in the audience right now are shaking their head like, hey, this is not okay.
Right.
You know, and when I invited you here, I said, there are people who need to really hear this story.
Yep.
Right.
So she started calling family members. At this time, how many days did you stay in the jail?
It was just overnight, because mm-hmm. They let me out on pretrial. Mm-hmm. And pretrial is you have to they give you a number to call and start setting up your probation or whatever that
right. Your court whatever, date, right?
Probation or okay. whatever. And I had to call every Monday to whoever they recommend me to, mm-hmm. and that went on for about a good 2 or 3 months.
Every time you called, you didn't have anybody assigned to you.
Yeah, I had somebody assigned.
Okay.
Cause like I say, when you get out on pretrial, mm-hmm.
Those are your check-ins.
Right.
Oh, okay. So you get out on pretrial, you have to check in to say, hey, I'm still here. I'm gonna come to trial. I'm gonna do the thing. So it's like a probation.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Correct. So that went on for about a good 2 or 3 months.
Wow.
Which that was so annoying, mm-hmm. you know, cause I felt like, you know, I gotta check in with another grown person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, which I never dealt with a situation like that a day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So that went on for about 2 or 3 months. So, and then during this time, I hadn't got charged with resisting arrest with violence, which I don't know how, and then two misdemeanors was for trespassing, which I don't know how, see why, because everybody, you know, walked through there. And like I was just sitting there.
Oh, so it went from jaywalking to actually trespassing.
Right. Cause I had about 4 or 5 charges.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And which they got dropped later on down the line because.
So after the 3 months happened, Laura, you were calling in, then what happened? Did you end up going to trial? Well, how did the charges get dropped? What happened?
That morning when I got out on that pretrial, I immediately went right there to the police station and, you know, filed a complaint because during this time, I still got my band-aids, you know, mm-hmm. on and everything. And I want to, you know, press charges, you know, for what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the detective, which his name was Mark something, he's the one that I talked to when I went there. And he took my information saying.
Was he nice?
Yeah, he was nice, but I didn't hear nothing else from him when he said that he was gonna be getting back with me.
Mm-hmm. That never happened.
Right. And then he had the forensic to come in and take pictures of my scars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So
he obviously turned this report in.
I don't know.
No.
I haven't talked to him since then.
Yeah, so there was no follow-up.
Right.
So you report this, and after you've reported it, you don't hear any follow-up. So I know you're telling like your homeboys and you're telling people in the community like, this happened to me. What was their response?
They was very shook because before then, you know, I ain't had no bandage on me or nothing.
Right.
That. And then when they see me, you know, and they seen the bandage on me and stuff, and they asking me, what happened to you?
Mm-hmm.
Cause by this time, you know, nobody still don't know that this happened.
Right.
You know, it's late at night. So they asked me, what happened to you? What you doing with all the bandages on you? So I'm like, man, I just got beat up by the police last night. So they're like, man, stop playing, stop lying. I'm like, why would I lie with something about that? You know, I just literally got my ass kicked by the police.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. So so from that point, all the way up to 6 months, don't went past.
Because the video was leaked.
At the time, it wasn't.
Right, at first, it wasn't. So he's experiencing this, and he's saying, the police have beat me up, there was an incident, and we, the regular citizens here, we know nothing about it. So it's not coming up on WLOS, this is not a conversation that's happening in community meetings, this is just something that has basically been swept under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Nobody knows this happens. So the day that the video leaks, where are you? What is going on in your life?
I'm going on with my normal life, you know, because at the time when that happened, I had to stop working. Mm-hmm. Cause now, you know, since this done happened, and
I'm scared to walk home every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And from that point all the way up to then, 6 months went past, and I'm trying to reach out to that detective who I talked to, and I don't get no response because he gave me his personal number and his office number.
Right.
I'm leaving voicemails. I'm sending text messages like, "Hey, Mr. Mark, what is going on?" You know. Mm-hmm. And weeks don't went past, and then here come months. Ain't nobody telling me nothing. Ain't nobody reaching out to me. So now I'm back mad again.
Yeah, of course.
Now I'm ready to get ready to go over here and blow up this police station. Now everybody in it. Mm-hmm. You know, this
feel like you can't get justice.
This is what's on my mind.
Right,
you know?
Of course. Yeah.
So during the time when I'm not hearing anything, you know, okay, whatever. Thank God I'm here.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. You know, but I'm still gonna try my best to get justice for this. You know, something got to happen, and thank God for that body camera, which I am that camera. You know, and I feel like during those 6 months when anybody heard nothing about this, I felt like they were trying to destroy that video, that evidence. You know.
So where were you when you found out that the video dropped?
I was still living in New Walker Heights at the time.
So when the video drops, what happens? How do you know? How do you find out? How do you find out now that everybody's gonna see your story? How did you?
The Citizen Time guy. Some lady, I guess, that work at the police station, which I still never seen her to this day, don't know who she is, black, white, Puerto Rican, you know, an alien. I don't know who this person is. But thank God for her, you know, because she's the one that, because I guess somehow that video got linked to her desktop or her laptop or whatever, and she seen that video, and she was very devastated about that video. And I guess, you know, she was like, somebody needs to see this. So I guess she sent it to the Sensitive Time people, and the guy Joe, which I forget his last name, he's the one that made that video go viral, you know. And before it went, I don't know how he got my phone number. I don't know how he knew where I live, but he
We can find you. See, I found you. Right. I chased you down in the middle of the street. You can be found now.
Right. So my phone rang, and I get a strange number. You know, I don't know this number because all my numbers programmed. But I still answer anyway because I don't know who could it be. So answer the phone. Hello. So he was like, "Is this Johnny Rush?" So I'm hesitating, like, okay, who are you?
You know? I'm tired of people asking me for my name.
Right. Enough. Right, who are you? So he told me who he was, and he was like, "I have something that you really need to see that's very important." So when he said that, I already knew what he was talking about, that video.
Yeah.
So he was like, "So when's the best time that we can meet up? We can, you know, meet at a store, at a, you know, restaurant, or I could come to your home." And at the time, you know, I ain't feel like going nowhere because I'm, you know, I'm tired. I'm just relaxing, you know, for the rest of the day, you know, just, you know, my normal routine, you know, interacting with my kids and, you know, family man, you know, being a father or whatever. So he was like, "When the best time we can meet up?" So I'm like, "Well, we can meet now. You know, you can come to my home." So from the time we, you know, got off the phone, I said bye. 10, 15 minutes later, "Hey, you come."
Yo, he knew that video was going viral.
Right. "Hey, you come." So I work in him in my home. You know, we shook hands, introduced each other. And we sat in the kitchen, which he had his laptop with him, with that video. So before he showed me that video, he was like, do I want to see it, you know? And before I seen it, you know, I just went to having flashbacks all over again. And then when I did start seeing, looking at the video, I just started getting emotional, mad, and sad at the same time, all in one, you know?
Do you guys remember seeing the video? I remember seeing the video and like cursing at the screen. Yeah, like, don't do that to him. Like, why is this happening to him? Like, this is wrong. I remember being super upset, and Raph's like, okay, this happens, you have to calm down. Mm-hmm. Like, this, and I'm like, I'm outraged. The moment I saw the video, I was emotional. So I can't even imagine how emotional you were. It must have been hard.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Because I never thought, you know, that would happen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, anything can happen at any given time, no matter where you at. You just always have to prepare yourself for the better or the worse. So let's rewind this before all of this happened. Remember I was saying that I was visualizing this?
Yeah.
I visualized that they were going to stop me, you know, I was going to prepare myself, but I didn't know all of that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Like, you can't prepare yourself for that. Nobody should have to.
No.
And it's not your responsibility to prepare yourself for that. Nobody deserves what happened to you.
Nope.
Right.
I was pretty brutally assaulted summer 2018 to the point where they had to actually staple my head shut.
Wow.
And I think the scariest part was because it wasn't by the police, it was by a stranger. But the randomness and the no reason for it, I think, is what was the scariest part of it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I've been in other situations in my life, you know, from being a teenager, you know, growing up to now. And I've been in other situations dealing with life and death, you know, from being a friend, you know, being a supporter, loyalty, you know, everything, you know, like a family person, you know, supposed to be. And, you know, and I could have lost my life. Mm-hmm. I could have been seriously hurt. I could have been a convicted felony.
Exactly.
I should have been doing time. You know, mm-hmm. I could have been still doing time right now, mm-hmm. hard time. And two of my best friends right now doing hard times. And if I would have kept, you know, going down that path, you know, I would have been there too. Mm-hmm. So I thank God for, you know, opening up my eyes. You know.
We know it's hard, just take a breath.
And I come from a big family. You know, I was the baby out of 10 kids. You know, 7 boys and 3 girls.
Oh my God, that must have been fun. Where are you in the lineup?
I'm the baby.
Oh, so that's why everybody was super emotional too, because we know how we are about the babies in our family. Mm-hmm. So how's your mom holding up?
My mom is deceased.
Oh, wow.
I lost her when I was 15, mm-hmm. and I was incarcerated during that time, mm-hmm. you know? And I didn't even think life was real until I wake up every day and can't see her. You don't see her. So I knew life is real now. I know I'm gonna die one day, you know, but not in situations like that, you know? But anything can happen at any given time. You know, you have to try to prepare yourself for what come at you. Mm-hmm. And life is what you make it, you know, and it's consequence behind everything that you do, whether it's right or wrong.
So you know, you have, so the guy comes, he shows you the video, you get the PTSD, and then what does he say to you? What's the plan? What happens next?
During the time when I'm watching the video, because my kids was, you know, in the living room, you know, doing what they do, then my son, I happened to see my son coming in the kitchen where we was, so we tried to hurry up and, you know, start that video to keep him from, you know, seeing it, mm-hmm. or whatnot, which he still did.
And he's a smart little boy.
And he immediately noticed that was me. Mm. And the first question he asked me,
oh my God.
Daddy, is that you getting beat up by the police? And I can't lie to my son on a situation like that. you know, I can't lie to him, you know. And I was like, yes, son, that's daddy. And it wasn't really hurt me the most, which, you know, I still told my daughter because she wanted to be a police officer. You know, she wanted to, you know, and she having it, you know, and I explained to my kids what happened, you know, because there's something they need to know, mm-hmm. you know. And my little girl, you know, she wanted to be a police officer. And when I told her about my situation, she said, Daddy, I don't think I want to be no police no more. So I said, I told my daughter my exact words. I told her, I said, Mommy, don't let what happened to Daddy stop you from fulfilling your dream. Mm-hmm. Because you could be the one who can make a difference. Mm-hmm. It's gonna make a difference. And I teach them every day, you know, not to hate, you know, but, you know, always take care of yourself. Always, you know, be there for one another. Cause y'all got. Mommy and daddy's not gonna always be here. So always love your sister, always protect your sister. And don't let nobody run over y'all. Don't let nobody take your kindness for weakness, mm-hmm. you know.